Hi, I'm Delphine Peace, a research assistant at the International Centre, researching child sexual exploitation, violence and trafficking at the University of Bedfordshire. And I am joined today by Sylvie Borvanic, research fellow at the International Centre. Sylvie and colleagues from the International Centre recently published the Being Heard report, presenting findings from international evidence on youth participatory research on sexual violence against children. The report discusses some of the complexities and challenges that are part of many participatory research processes, especially when these involve vulnerable populations and focus on a sensitive topic. So welcome, Sylvie. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Delphine.
So to begin with, could you explain how participatory research was defined as part of the Being Heard review?
Of course. So in the context of the review, we define participatory research as research that has a high degree of collaboration between those who are normally solely the subject of research and those undertaking research. So we looked at initiatives that create opportunities for children and young people to influence the research process beyond solely providing information.
Mm-hmm.
And this means that we excluded research initiatives that only involve children or young people as research subjects. So we used Jarrett and Lansdowne and Claire O'Kane's continuum of children's participation as a framework to explore the different levels of participation in research. And the continuum describes three levels of children's participation. So there's consultation at one end, and this is when children are consulted on a research topic or aspect of the research process. In the middle, there's a broad spectrum where professional researchers work in varying forms and different degrees of collaboration with children and young people.
Mm-hmm.
And at the other end, we have the child or youth-led research spectrum, and this describes research projects or initiatives that are initiated and owned by children or young people, but adult professionals are typically invited to facilitate or support the research process, and they may help with specific aspects of the project. So one of the key findings of the scoping review was that participatory research practice in this field of sexual violence is still emerging. Overall, we found very little practice that involved children and young people in participatory research on sexual violence or related topics. And of relevant examples identified, the majority were actually consultative and collaborative initiatives, with very few examples of child or youth-led research. Doing participatory research on a highly sensitive and stigmatized topic such as sexual violence is really difficult and hard to do well.
Great. Thank you, Sylvie. And could you briefly say a few words about how you conducted the review?
We used four main methods of data collection.
Mm-hmm.
We reviewed academic and grey literature around this topic. We elicited data through a call for evidence. We also conducted 10 key informant interviews. So they were with adult professional researchers and young researchers. And we also conducted a pre-conference workshop at the SVRI Forum 2017 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And during this workshop, we explored some of the benefits and challenges of engaging children and young people in participatory research on sexual violence with 37 international delegates.
Okay, great. And the report explores a number of key questions that researchers and organizations who are or may be thinking of involving children or young people in sexual violence research grapple with. And one of these underlying questions is whether or not vulnerable children and young people can actually do research on sexual violence. Could you say a bit more about what evidence you found on children and young people's ability to conduct research on such a difficult and sensitive topic?
Concerns over children and young people's involvement in participatory research on sexual violence are actually very common. So this is an important and relevant, very valid question. However, the question whether or not children and young people can do research on sexual violence is somewhat oversimplified, and it can be interpreted in different ways. So for instance, it can explore the ethics and feasibility of involving children and young people in participatory research on highly sensitive topics, but it can also refer to children and young people's competencies and ability to carry out research in general and particularly on sexual violence. So framed in this way, the question will invite answers that are likely to be informed by how we see children, young people more generally. Existing power differentials between children and adults often shape our views of children and young people's agency. And by agency, I mean children's ability to influence decisions or matters that affect them. And because the world in which we live tends to be led by adults, children and young people's capacity to contribute meaningfully to finding solutions to existing problems can be overlooked, and their perspectives can be marginalized. And this is particularly pronounced in the area of sexual violence against children, because children and young people affected by this issue are often seen as victims and in need of protection. And this can undermine their agency and gloss over the fact that, despite their vulnerabilities, this group of children and young people too has and can further develop competencies to meaningfully and significantly contribute to research in this area. They can provide a unique insight perspective to the evidence base on sexual violence against children.
And the report reviews a range of key challenges, including ethical and practical challenges of involving children and young people in participatory research on sexual violence. What were some of these key challenges?
Some of the challenges identified in the review are specific to children. That means they relate to children's developmental stage, or their age-specific vulnerabilities or child protection issues. Many of the challenges, however, highlight the complexities of undertaking participatory research more generally. Participatory research inherently challenges power dynamics between those that have traditionally been the research subjects, so that means participant researchers who may have little academic or professional research training or experience, and those who have traditionally conducted the research, so that means researchers with a more formal academic background and professional research experience. So there are a range of challenges that can emerge as a result of the shift in power dynamics in the research context. For example, we found evidence in some peer research studies that showed that the boundaries between participant researchers and the peers that they interviewed can be blurred. So participatory research can entail a sense of ambiguity, and on one hand, there is evidence that suggests that participatory approaches, including peer research, can establish good rapport between participant researchers and research subjects, and this can help to elicit data that might otherwise be difficult to access. On the other hand, this close rapport can create challenges during data collection and analysis, because participant researchers may find it hard to keep professional boundaries. For example, in one specific peer research study with young fathers, participant researchers gave advice to the individuals they interviewed because they were all young fathers and they could relate to each other's problems.
Right.
But in the literature, this was sometimes described as a lack of researcher neutrality. And without wanting to go into a theoretical discussion of why this concept in itself is highly contested, the apparent lack of researcher neutrality or objectivity was interpreted as a deficit that could undermine the credibility of participatory research. So as I've mentioned before, this issue did not just come up in participatory research with children, but also in participatory studies with adults. And I would actually suggest that it can also be an issue for professional academic researchers, but perhaps we're not scrutinized in quite the same way.
The example you just gave regarding lack of researcher neutrality is really interesting. Children and young people, obviously, are less likely to have received formal or academic research training than most adult professional academic researchers. Does this mean that it is not appropriate to involve them in participatory research on sensitive topics like sexual violence?
No, the evidence we reviewed suggests that if adequately trained and supported and resourced, children and young people's participatory involvement can actually bring many benefits to all stages of the research process. And again, I believe the answer to this question partly reflects how children and young people are viewed more generally. For example, whether we see them as inherently vulnerable or as innately resilient and competent. And of course, as we know, vulnerability and resilience exist on a continuum that is fluid rather than linear. So these two poles are not necessarily mutually exclusive. However, I believe that it matters whether we view children and young people through a deficit-based or strength-based lens. And the research shows that children and young people's competencies tend to be underestimated. And their competencies are also not static, but they're constantly evolving. So the literature suggests that children's ability to engage in participatory research depends very much on the level and duration of training, preparation, and support they receive. And this work needs to be underpinned by sufficient time and resources, and it needs to be facilitated by skilled staff who have a commitment to participation and the right level of expertise and experience. But it also needs to be said that undertaking participatory research with vulnerable groups on a highly sensitive issue like sexual violence is challenging. In addition, there are some specific issues that need to be addressed when involving children, for instance, in relation to child protection.
Mm.
So really it is about identifying what these issues are and about preempting and responding to them in a comprehensive and a thoughtful manner. And there's still a lot of work to be done in order to better understand what these challenges are and how to overcome them. But we hope that this report is a starting point for further conversations.
It definitely is. Thank you very much, Sylvie, for such an interesting insight into the findings of the Being Heard review. The report shares many more findings on key benefits, barriers, and challenges to youth participatory research on sexual violence, and shares strategies and recommendations involving young people in various stages of the research process. The report is available on the Our Voices website and can be accessed via the link on this podcast.